Christian greetings to our dearly beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord. A Christian family that we need to sometimes check our love for each other. And I wondered in myself as I was sitting at my desk early this morning and just how much love do I really have for God and for our brothers and sisters and for all those we meet. And I certainly greet you in the name of Jesus, the one who is our love and has showed his great love. And we are still here, and may the love and joy and peace be multiplied to each one as we consider these things, as we think on these things. We're here because of the mercies of God. It is of his mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. And so how faithful are we as we go from day to day, and we've got our routines and things to go and to do, and we're busy. And the other day, Louise and I just went visiting. I say the other day, I guess maybe it was last week. We went and visited some people in another community and some widows, and it's really been a blessing. And we know that they have trials and struggles too, but I think as they receive those trials of old age or whatever it may be, they can also be raised up higher through trials and closer to God. And so we enjoyed it, and not that we thought, well, we're really doing something, you know. Here we read today that, I can't even get to start. Anyhow, we need to visit the fatherless and the widows and keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's quite a check, isn't it? In the world with which we live, we're to stay unspotted from the world. We also took off early Friday, and were in Guthrie and visited several of our friends there. And excuse me, my throat's kind of off, but anyhow. Here some time ago, Gid, Brenneman, and his wife Katie were on the way to Mount Vernon, Illinois, for some CAT scans or whatever. I can't catch the other name. Anyhow, they had a real bad accident. And of course, Gid's leg is broken between the hip and the knee. He's sitting there with his leg propped up on a wheelchair. We visited them. We wanted to visit them in the hospital in Paducah. And when we got down there, we called up to the whatever station to ask where they were, and they said he was discharged. It was like 20 minutes ago. And so I called one of his sons, and they were just about to get on Interstate 24, heading for home. And so we were kind of disappointed, and yet, you know, that's the way it is. So we decided the other day that we would come down. And we would come to Guthrie early and then be with our loving people to help sort clothes. And of course, I had to think of this. I had to think of Gid when I read on the board here. I think he's got some real storms that I think actually in visiting with him, he's being lifted up higher. So isn't that nice? And I was really blessed. And that's not all. Just before that, him and his wife were going to Clarksville in their tractor. And he made a wrong turn at one of the intersections. He thought it was clear. It was his time to go. And he turned to go, and somebody smashed his tractor, turned it over, and his wife's arm is all tore up somehow. Can't even think of now. Elmer, what kind of surgeries did you have in your arm?
Rotator cuff.
There you go. And it's all tore up, and she said, what, 3 different rips and stuff? And that happened just before, and that's why they were going to Mount Vernon, was to check this out, get some x-rays and everything. And so there they were. He says, sometimes it just pours, doesn't it? I said, well, yeah, it does. But his love for God, I think, was increased. And it was such a blessing. And he's waiting on God. God was waiting on him, and he's waiting on God. Now, isn't that nice? But the trials that we have and the waiting that needs to be done, sometimes that's when God asks me to wait on something, it's one of the hardest jobs I've had in my life already. And maybe others don't find it that way. But anyhow, God is faithful. We're still here. I know there's some people sick, and I heard this morning it's quite a bit of coughing and so forth. It seems that's a winter a deal, you know, that comes along with the winter. But what Jonathan shared with us this morning reminded me of our need of God in the time of our lives, that we don't fill ourselves with garbage. Some time ago, I heard a message that a minister preached on feeding on garbage, feeding out of the rubbish bins. And I know there's people that do that. There are some poor people that watch those bins behind the grocery store to see what they can find. I've actually been there in the past myself, not really looking. I was looking for boxes, and here there was a whole batch. I mean, they just dumped wheelbarrow loads of these big green and red peppers. Some people really like them. But I know my wife likes them, and so I just grabbed up a few of them and took them along. But anyhow, with our modern technology and everything, I would just encourage. You know, that smartphone is a real deal to fill us up with garbage if we let it. We need the Spirit of God to keep us on the right track. And so anyhow, and recently in my studies, I found out in studying and also in Apostle Paul's letters that he writes. And in another book I was reading, this writer says that at several points, the world of the first century and in Asia Minor, where the Apostle Paul was teaching, the in that century and the 20th century of America, they intersect the points. There are several points that he brought out. And he says a listing of those intercepting points provides interesting material for thought. And it did for me. You know, that was way back there, way back. years ago. But here are some of the thoughts that he brought out that the Apostle Paul dealt with in Colossae, in Ephesians, the letters he wrote in Ephesians. And here Apollos and the church there, if there was one there, but we read a lot of that. Anyhow, Paul spoke there. And they were just in they're in Asia Minor. It wasn't all that many miles apart. But the Apostle Paul was interested in visiting these churches and teaching them. But here are some of the points that he brought out was permissiveness in sexual morality. Permissiveness. And that's what our nation is doing today. Fascination with astrology, demonology, and the spirit world. A combination of ideas from many religions. And also a confusion of roles within marriage, disintegration of family life. In addition to the unique concerns here, he says, in Paul's world and in ours, are the usual problems tending to emerge in churches of any era. Among those problems are, and that's why I ask, did we check our love level for the member, our brothers and sisters this morning when we come to church and we see them? Do we really love them? Or is there something, a little chip on our shoulder that, it's the weight of a boulder, you know? But it's the friction developing from persons interacting with one another. And another one is a worldly values imported into the Christian church settings. Lord help us. And with a mind and heart warmed by Christ-like love. Excuse me, that's kind of got off the track there. Worldly values imported into the Christian settings and the challenge of personal suffering to Christian belief in the goodness of God, the challenge. Suffering. Peter says it's a privilege, it's a blessing to suffer for Christ. So let us look at these things. But a warmed heart with Christ's love in us, a Christ-like love, is still equal for us today in our hearts. Lord, give us a vision. And so we just simply need to take heed and really check us out. What are we doing? And waiting on God when we have trials and struggles. So it's a wonderful thing that God loves us so much. And Norman made mention in his prayer about us little things down here. We are, if the nations are a drop in the bucket, what are we? But God loves us. God wants us. God wants us to love here and being true lights in the world and a light of the world, a salt of the earth. But anyhow, God has promised many blessings. And I really appreciated the Sunday school lesson again as well. So let us take heed. We were taught this morning about the garbage cans, filling up with garbage. Let us check that. And then check us out on really listening. Swift to hear and slow to speak. And slow to wrath. And so, are we waiting on God to help us? Are we praying to God for this thing that I'm encumbered with? And just waiting. It's a hard job. But waiting for God is something that's very important. Waiting for God. Turn with me to Isaiah, Isaiah 64, if you would, with your Bibles. Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And here the churches were, Israel had been carried away. They disobeyed God. They were like our world is going today, away from God. And they left God, and God had sent the prophets to teach them what to do and what not to do. But they gave very little heed to what he was saying. And so they were carried captive into Babylon. And it was just a horrible thing. But here Isaiah was called to preach. And he says that the Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me. And I'm not reading in 64 yet. I just saw a verse over here. The Spirit of God, and he has anointed him. And this is something that he was referring to, speaking of the Messiah, the prophecy. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, to hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. As we wait, when we're mourning, we wait. And so here he says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. In chapter 64 now. And wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in thee, in those is continence, and we shall be saved. I kind of missed the word. Where is that? Well, anyhow, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. This is a different, and on my paper here, it's a different translation, apparently. So, for those that waiteth for him, let me read that again. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Isaiah was speaking out here for the Lord, and there was help coming about. It looks like to me, the way I understand it, And Waiting on God is sometimes pretty tough. But then when we have these trials and struggles, it's like the stormy winds that take the kite up higher. Since our Heavenly Father hath reserved such precious blessings for those who wait for him, we should have an intense longing to wait for God and thus receive his promised blessings. It's interesting that I was thinking on these things and on the visiting with Gid, and we came home, and Ron Border has sent his encouraging weekly letter. And it was so, it was just like a blessing from God for me to preach. And I was thinking on these things about how people wait, how people have struggles and problems. And I was thinking, well, this is just exactly what I needed to share with you in on this message. And waiting on God can only be learned from God himself. Waiting on God can only be learned from God himself. David recognized this when he prayed, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Psalms 25:5 is that reference. "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." It is only as we wait upon God and allow him to teach us that we will learn how to be still before him. Be still and know that I am God. And thus we will be enabled to hear his words for of guidance and truth. When we wait, it is in the stillness of our hearts that the Spirit of God will lead us into deeper truths of his word. Oh, we just, I'm reminded of the song, just come closer to me. He wants us. He waits for us, I'm sure, at times. And when we come to him, he will bring the blessings that he has for us to us. It is in the quietness of the hour that God will reveal to us the beauties of the Christ of our hearts. As we wait on him to teach us, he will show us how we can surrender our lives more completely to him than the Lord. That the Lord can show us or completely empower and fulfill our Christian life. And so, for being fulfilled, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2, verse 20, says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so may God help us in this here to also be crucified unto the world, by whom I am crucified unto the world, and I unto the world, or the world unto me and I unto the world. Waiting for God, we must not only think of waiting on God, but it is wonderful to think that God waits on us. He waits on us to come closer when we have a problem. And therefore, will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. Blessed are all they that wait for him. In Isaiah 30, verse 18 is that reference. Our Heavenly Father may not always grant our desired petitions immediately, so that our faith may be strengthened. He may wait long to grant it, but when He does give answer to our waiting hearts, the blessings will be all the greater, and our faith will be all the more increased. So it is certainly a wonderful thing that to wait for Him. He is prepared to help us. He is prepared to console us in our struggles and to help us out of the what we would call bad experiences in life. We often may not understand the purposes of the circumstances the Lord sends into our lives. And that's what I really felt for Gid and his wife. And I also felt for our son that seemingly had a circumstance here that wasn't too nice either. But, you know, we just don't understand. But as Gid said, you know, as we recuperate here, we are finding blessings because of this that we haven't experienced before. Now, why the tractor overturned and why the driver of their taxi man taking him up to Mount Vernon, why he didn't see the car that or the vehicle that was stopped on the bridge crossing the river there at Paducah. He says, I don't understand why. Why did this have to happen? But he says, in these several weeks since it happened, we have been blessed in things, in areas that we would not have been blessed if these things wouldn't happen. Now that's the right attitude, isn't it? To realize that God is sending blessings after his wife's arm was tore and his leg is broken. He's got a pin in about this long, he showed. And he said, 3 months. 3 months before he can put weight on it. And that's, if you know Gid, he's an active man, was. And he's really put on the chair. So, but God is giving them blessings because of that. We often may not understand the purposes, but we need to, it says in everything give thanks. Well, be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Well, that's kind of hard. But as time goes on, and I've heard that from people before, that they learned a lot because of the trial that they had. But if we have learned to wait on God with an unquestioning trust, maybe that's hard for our mind to turn to that trust, to really trust God. But, you know, if we have learned to wait on God with unquestioning trust, we will find the cloud of trial will break into showers of blessing. And Brother Gid has really experienced and shared that with us. We need not understand God's ways with us. It is enough to know God is the one who has control of our lives, and our faith in Him will become restful faith as we confidently wait for His guidance. He has promised that those who wait on Him shall not be ashamed. Isaiah 49 23 says, Thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 31. May our continual prayer be after the similitude of David's prayer, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Psalm 62, verse 5. And so I'm reminded of the verse we had several weeks ago when we were down here. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name." We cannot thank him enough for all that he does for us. And may we continue to abide in him. He is our God. He is our strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. And that's just a small part of what he is. He is everything to us. We cannot turn anywhere else for help when we get into these troubles. A continual prayer. Let us continually look into him. He is our God. I want to thank you for your prayers. Time is here to close. And do continue to pray for us, and we will do likewise. Let's pray for each other and not faint, by the way. Let's not even get tired. But we do get tired, don't we? But God has something. I just want to share this with you. We get into some conversations there at the shop where I work, one of the guys said, when the sun was shining so bright and it was so wonderful, this winter weather is so wonderful. And then he says, "Well, why would God destroy the world?" And I said, "Well, the people were so ungodly. In Noah's time, he did." "Well, I didn't really mean that. But why does he want to burn up all this beautiful world?" Well, it doesn't. What we have today is beautiful. What we experience in our world today is beautiful, yes. But what he has prepared for those that love him in eternity, it would be no comparison. I think I dare say that. It is just, well, like it really is. It's out of this world. It's in heaven. Let's all join hands, pray for each other, that all would be there and no one be missing. That we can teach our youth to walk in the steps of Jesus. So may God be praised. Give him the glory. If anything was said that's not a scriptural, why, I want someone to correct me and whatever. But let's kneel for prayer.